I guess we're all very much inspired by the incredible way in which the people of Ukraine have been defending their country for almost 18 months. The battle for Ukraine, I think we all felt right from the very beginning, was like a David and Goliath story, a country threatened with conquest by a powerful neighbor, people fighting for their land and for their freedom. And I think perhaps of all of the people in that country, the most inspiring for me has been President Zelensky in the way he has given that leadership and stood against all the odds and refusing to be defined by smallness. And I guess when you think of the story of David and Goliath, it's very much about that. Because here was a situation where the people of Israel were being challenged, being threatened by their enemies, and the battle had been drawn, and the armies of Israel were in a stalemate trying to defend themselves against the armies that stood against them. And of course, as we know, that army had this great man, Goliath, larger than anyone else, powerful, strong, kind of symbolizing the threat against them as a nation. And Israel seemed to have no answer to that. But God had put his hand on a young man called David. And David was seemingly the most insignificant person in his family. He was small. He was of no account. His only job really was to run errands to the front line, take supplies to his brothers who were the real fighters there, the big guys on the front line. But of course, we know the story, that when it came to the final moment, it was David, this little boy with his shepherd's sling and stone, who brought down the giant and turned the tables on their enemies and led the people to victory and went on, of course, in due time to become the greatest king Israel ever had, King David. He refused to be defined by smallness. And I wonder whether perhaps David might have been himself inspired by an even earlier story, which I'm sure we've all heard, the story of Gideon. Another time in Israel's history when they were threatened by their enemies. And the question was, how are they going to defend themselves? And the story turns to this man, Gideon, and the Lord comes to Gideon and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And if you know Gideon's response is, you've got to be kidding. I am of the smallest tribe in Israel, and I'm the smallest man in my tribe. In other words, I am insignificant. I am small. And God says something to Gideon that I'm sure also in time inspired David. And that was this. He says, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel." Go in the strength you have and save Israel. And Gideon had said, "I'm small." But in time, of course, Gideon not only led the people of Israel to victory against their enemies, but went on to be the leader of the nation for the next 40 years through his lifetime. He refused to be defined by smallness. But there's another story which is all too easily overlooked, and yet it's equally powerful. It's a story of a man who refused to be defined by what people called him, by the name he had been given. It's a story that is told in just two verses in the Old Testament. And it's not a story found in the book of Judges like Samson or Gideon. It's not a story found in the book of Kings like David or Solomon. It's a story found in the first book of Chronicles. Now, Chronicles is not likely to be top of your reading list for the summer holidays. Because the book of Chronicles, or two books of Chronicles, are really like the National Archives of Israel. It's a story of who begat who and who begat who. Going down through the generations, most of them names we've never heard of and never likely to hear of again. If you like, it's a bit like the National Archives for Israel. And a lot of it's just who was father to who. And it goes through all the names, all the tribes. Now, I want to take you to a passage because buried in the middle of that, there is this little passage of just two verses that's almost completely out of context with the rest of 1 Chronicles. If you have a Bible, turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And we're going to read, it'll probably be on the screen here. And that's 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9. But just leave that on the screen for a moment, because I want to read a few verses either side of this for you to get a taste of just where this passage sits. Because the earlier chapters, it's all about who was the father of who. Who were the descendants of the key people? So, for example, if I just pick it up from verse 5, it says this: Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Naara. Naara bore him Ahuzam, Hepher, Temeni, and Harhashtari. These were the descendants of Naara, the sons of Hela: Zareth, Zohar, Ethan, and Koz, who was the father of Anab. And have you heard of all these people? Hazarab, and of the clans of Aharel, son of Haram. It's hard enough even to say them, and I'm sure that's not quite how you're supposed to say them. But then, in the middle of all this, you get these incredible words. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "Because I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. And then the next verse is back to Caleb, Shua's brother, was the father of Mahir, who was the father of Eshton. Eshton was the father of Beth Rapha. And so it goes on. And you think to yourself, why are these two verses here? In the middle of the archives, in the middle of the book of Chronicles. Why is it there? It's like a misfit. It doesn't really belong in the passage. Why is it there? You'll find that Jabez's name doesn't occur in any of those lists of people. He's not from the royal line of David. He's not from anyone of any great significance. You won't find a photo of him in the Vatican or in the Pentagon. He's of no significance. Jabez, who on earth is he? We don't know whose son he was. We don't know what children he had. We don't know where he came from. We don't know where he lived. We don't even know what time he lived. We know absolutely nothing else about him except for these two verses. Why are they there? Yet somehow the chronicler, possibly a team of people who wrote these archives, perhaps a chief archivist, was so impacted by the story of Jabez that he decided to include these two verses in his chronicles. Let me read them again. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "Because I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. This story about Jabez is all about his name and how he refused to be defined by his name. The passage says he was more honorable than his brothers. We don't know who his brothers were. They may have been content with the names that they were given, maybe content with what people expected them to be. But Jabez wasn't. We're told, somebody's bleeping away there. I don't know who's got a bleep going on. Somebody, what it says here is that his mother named him Jabez. It says, "Because I gave birth to him in pain." What you may not know is that the name Jabez means pain. Now, I'm sure there are plenty of mothers who know what it is to have a painful childbirth, but not too many mothers decide to name their baby Pain. I mean, imagine being given that name. You come down in the morning, "Good morning, Pain." That's going to go down well. Imagine you're a child of 11, you're about to start senior school, and you turn up on your first day, and you're talking to your mates, and they say to you, "What's your name, kid?" "Pain." That's going to get you off to a really good start, isn't it, in your relationship with your friends at school. In our society today, our choice of names for our children is very much influenced by fashion. It's influenced by our family circle. It's influenced by our society. We choose names because they are whatever we feel we want to choose. They often go in cycles, don't they? What names you, as a child, think of as an old person's name, they're now all trendy to be the names for babies. That's how it goes. But in the Old Testament, names were chosen because of what they really meant. And very often the belief was that by choosing a name, somehow that, maybe not magically, but somehow that influences how that person is going to live their life. So here is a situation where the mother has had a painful childbirth, and in her anger, presumably, or frustration, she calls the baby Pain. And it's going to define his life. His name is going to shape who he is. Well, I've known plenty of people who are a pain. Present company accepted. Now, don't look at your husband like that. Being called Pain. But it's all about the issue of his name. Most people, of course, choose to be a pain. It's their choice in life. They're not defined by it, by their name. Some people, of course, are born to privilege, to wealth, to opportunity, they've got great skills, great gifts, and so they make them what they want to be. They become great people, perhaps well-known names in society. Other people are born to broken homes, born in poverty, born without the opportunity, influenced and shaped by the choices of others, perhaps never really achieve a great deal. But here is a situation with Jabez where it's all about his name. I've been called Pain. And we're told then in the passage, Jabez cried out to God. And what he's really crying out to God for is, I don't want to be defined by my name. He cries out to God, Lord, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will not be defined by my name. In fact, Jabez asks here for four things. Let's just look at them briefly this morning. He says, please bless me, enlarge my territory, keep your hand on me, and keep me from harm. Let's take them one by one. The Lord, he says, first of all, Lord, bless me. I guess, really, the defining song of more or less the last 3 years, certainly the pandemic and the lockdown, has to be the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. May your blessing be upon me to 1,000 generations, to your family, to your children, and their children, and their children. It's a prayer for God's blessing. It's been translated into probably more languages than any other Christian song, sung all over the world, the blessing. All about refusing to be defined by a pandemic, refusing to be limited by a lockdown, refusing to be defined by what we were facing. The Lord bless you. Lord bless me, he says. What does it mean for him to ask God to bless him? Well, blessing speaks of abundance. It speaks of God's presence. It speaks of his love. It speaks of acceptance, of bounty, of plenty. All these are wrapped up in this idea of being blessed. And what Jabez is really saying, I've been called Pain, but I want to live in blessing. I want to live in abundance and fulfillment in my life. And God granted his request. What a prayer to pray if you're facing the challenge of what you are called or what other people think you should be, if you're being limited by the views of others. It's your choice in order to know God's blessing. The second thing that Jabez prays is, Lord, enlarge my territory. I want to park that for a minute and come back to it in a moment. The third thing he says, Lord, keep your hand on me. Let your hand be with me. We think of the story again of David. And David knew what it was to have the Lord's hand on him. Of course, he went on to be the great king of Israel. But apart from being king, he also was the author of some of those amazing psalms. And inevitably, the most important of them all is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me, takes me in green pastures, beside still waters. He restores my soul. God has his hand upon me. He leads me. David knew what it was to be led by God, to have God's hand on him. He was saying, I don't want to be limited by what other people think, what other people say, what other people call me. I'm not going to be small. I'm going to have God's hand upon my life. It's a decision to make. And Jabez makes the same decision. He says, I don't want to be limited by my name. I don't want to be limited by smallness. I don't want to be insignificant. I want to be what you can make me to be. I want your hand upon my life, for you to lead me, for you to take me to places that otherwise I could not go. Let your hand be with me. The third thing that Jabez prays is, Lord, keep me from harm. It's as if he's saying, if I allow my name to shape me, then I will suffer pain. I'll be defined by my name. If I allow myself to be shaped by what other people call me, I'll be limited by my name. Why? Well, probably because I'll make poor choices, I'll mess it up, I'll get it wrong. And Jabez is saying, I don't want it to be that way. Lord, keep me from harm. Lord, make me different to what my name would otherwise limit me to be. I want to be free, he's saying, from what other people call me, how they define me, how they view me. I don't want to be Jabez. I don't want to be a pain. I want to live free from pain, free from harm. All the way through, as we read these prayer requests of Jabez, what's clear is he's making choices. He's making choices. I want God's blessing on my life. I want to be led by him, not just to go my own way. I want to be free from pain, free from harm in my life. It's a choice, and it's a choice that you and I can make as well. Three things, but let me take you back to the second request that Jabez makes. He says, Lord, enlarge my territory. So here's the question, what exactly is Jabez asking for when he says to the Lord, Lord, enlarge my territory? I suppose the natural instinct would be to think, well, he's asking God to give him wealth, perhaps to give him land, to give him property, to give him power. I mean, that would be the natural reading, wouldn't it, of Lord, expand my territory. But I have a question with that, because for me, why would the chronicler be so fascinated, so influenced by this story, to include it in his archives, if it was just like any other person wanting wealth and power and land and property and control over other people? It would just be the story of anybody, wouldn't it? I think what Jabez is praying for here is something very different. He's not from a royal line. He's not from the line of David or Solomon. He's not going to be the ancestor of Christ. He's not, as far as we know, a great leader. He's not a great prophet. If you like, he's a nobody. But what I believe he's asking for here is not physical territory. I think what Jabez is asking for here is influence. Lord, give me influence. He's not going to get that from his lineage. He's nobody. But he can get it from his choice. Lord, give me influence. The truth of this message is anybody can have influence. Nobody's can have influence. We live in an age of influence, don't we? Not all influence is good. We know the power of certain lobbies. We think of the LGBT lobby that seem to have influence far beyond their scale in society because they press for influence. And they're there through the media, through the BBC very often. You think of other people who through social media have great influence. If you know, if you have teenage lads, you probably know the name Andrew Tate, whose name has been banned from all the major social media platforms. He's often banned in schools from even being mentioned because he's a misogynist, he's anti-establishment, but he influences young teenage boys. And his influence is still growing. An age of influence that we live in. But what Jabez is praying here is, Lord, increase my influence. But he's not looking to be influential for evil. He's wanting to influence people for good. He's asked for the Lord to bless him, for the Lord to have his hand on him, for the Lord to keep him from harm. And he's saying, Lord, I may be small, I may be a nobody, but Lord, give me influence. And it's a choice that he made. And we have that wonderful end to that story. God granted his request. And if you think of it, that has to be true. Because if God hadn't given him influence, why would he be there in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10? The chronicler wouldn't have been remotely interested in including him in his story unless he had been influenced by Jabez, by the story, by what this man did, lost to history, lost in time, but he'd influenced the chronicler. And of course, the amazing thing is that through the chronicler, he can influence you and me in 2023. Thousands of years after a nobody existed, he's still having influence. All because he made a choice. Not to be defined by smallness, not to be defined by the name his mother had given him, Pain, but rather to know God's blessing on his life, to go know God leading him, God keeping him from pain and from being a pain, God enabling him to have influence. And it's a choice. You know, the most important thing about this story is this. The reason God granted the request, it's not about God calling him. You think of people like Samuel, who were called by God, you know, that voice, Samuel, Samuel. Finally, Samuel hears, and he's chosen by God to be the leader of the people. Or David. David comes because Samuel comes and anoints him with oil, even though his brothers perhaps didn't know the significance. And he was chosen by God to be the king, the leader of Israel. We think of the prophets like Jeremiah or Elijah or Elisha, all of them called by God. You think of the apostles that followed Jesus, even the apostle Paul, all of them were called by God to be people of influence in their generation. And today they still have influence on us through the scriptures. But they were chosen, they were called by God. But the most important thing about Jabez is God didn't ask him. He didn't say to Jabez, Jabez, I want you to have influence. Jabez, I want you to make a difference to people's lives. It was entirely Jabez's choice. He chose not to be defined by the name he'd been given, not to be defined by what other people called him, not to be defined by smallness. He chose to be a person blessed by God, led by God, protected by God, and enabled to have influence by God. And the good news of that story is that could be you. That can be me. We can choose. We don't have to have a prophetic call. We don't have to be anointed to be the king of Israel or the king of England. we can choose, and God will grant your request. It's as simple as that. He chose to have influence. I believe it's a prayer that God will always answer. He will always answer the cry that you would be blessed, that you'd be led, that you'd be protected, and that you could have influence, not only in your generation, but through children and beyond that to many other generations, to your fathers and their children and their children and their children. Lord, increase my territory. Increase my influence for good. Like Gideon, go in the strength you have. The strength you have, and save Israel. Like the people of Ukraine, determined not to be defeated by a bully, but to fight for and win the battle for their line, their land. And we believe they will. And they're doing it by choice. And we can have that choice as well. As the team come back to lead us in worship, let's just pray together. Father, thank you for this amazing little gem in the middle of this book of Chronicles, in the middle of the National Archives of Israel, this story of a man called Payne, Jabez, who chose not to be defined by that name, not to be defined by insignificance and smallness, but chose to know your blessing, your leading, your protection, and chose by your power to have influence, not just in his generation, but through this book, right today in 2023. Lord, help us to make the same choice, not to be defined by what people call us, not to be defined by our sense of insignificance or smallness, but to be defined by the choice to have God's blessing, God's leading, God's protection, and through that, to have influence for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Give you influence.